Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
Now, we're going to get in the Word of the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Jude, but as you're turning there, just want to make our announcements for the week, and that is that we have Bible study, I think, coming on Wednesday nights. You know how to find this on social media. If you don't, there's certainly people that can help you out with that. Also, we want to remind you to be faithful in your giving, whether you're giving online or whether you can write a check, send it to the church, or there are offering baskets in the back on the doors on the way back. Don't you love living for God? Amen. There's no other life like it. Amen. There is no other life like living for God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Jude, chapter 1. Amen. Didn't the musicians and singers do a wonderful job again today? Amen. God is so good to allow us to have such a wonderful group of people that are leading us in song and in worship, and we thank God for them and what they're doing, how they're doing it, and under the unction and inspiration of the Holy Ghost while they do it. Amen. Praise God. The book of Jude, chapter number 1. And I am going to teach slash preach today. And it's something that I feel in the Holy Ghost and reading this week. It's amazing what just reading will do for you. It's amazing what reading the Word of the Lord will do for you. And I want to just tell you that if you haven't adopted reading the Bible into your daily life, I recommend that you do that. It sounds so simple, but oftentimes the biggest things happen in life by doing the simplest things well. And there's a lot to that. We could talk about that one day too, but remember that. So the book of Jude chapter 1, I'm going to read just a few verses and the beginning and then the end of the chapter, and you and them be seated. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, or God even the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And now, one of the greatest benedictions in the entire Bible, Jude says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Praise God. Let's lift up our hands one more time and ask the Lord to allow the word to move in our heart and our mind today. In Jesus' name, Father, we come to you now. We know that the word is already anointed. I pray that you say more than I do today. And I pray, Lord, that we would receive this word and we'll take it forward with us as we're living for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The book of Jude is interesting in the fact that it was written by Jude under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But the book of Jude is not written to a specific people that are located in a specific place, such as Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Colossians. We know that Paul was writing to those particular people and those particular places. But Jude was written to the saints everywhere, and he was writing a word, a letter, to them that were of like precious faith. He says some things that I find really exciting and interesting in the very beginning, and then I'm going to get to what I'm speaking about in verse number 20. He says, as he greets the people, that they are sanctified, they are preserved, and they are called. Now, I want you to take a moment and just think about those three words and think about yourself. How often, as we walk with God, do we recognize that we are sanctified, that we are preserved, and that we are called? Now, this is a really strong thing to say about someone when you say that they're sanctified, because the word sanctified means separated from, to be dedicated to. So he is writing to these people and he's saying to them, something miraculous, something has happened in your life because of salvation that causes you to be separated from, to be dedicated to. And then he says, you are preserved. Amen. You are held in a position that is preserved. You are contained. So you're sanctified, you're contained, you're preserved. And then he reminds them that you are called. We were called out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. So Jude begins by positioning these saints as being preserved, sanctified, and called. My brothers and sisters, this right here, enough, should be a point of joy in every one of our lives, that no matter what's going on, no matter how we feel, no matter what guilt we're feeling, no matter how low our self-esteem is, no matter how we feel about ourselves, we are looking at ourselves in a new light, that I am called, I'm preserved, and I'm sanctified. Amen. This is shouting ground. This is something the world could never do. This is something a person of the most influence that you know could never do. Only God could do this for you and put you in this position. And then he says something interesting to them. He says in verse 3, "Behold, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Now, wait a minute. The first verse says, I've got it all together. Now the writer is saying to me that I have to earnestly contend. Because my brothers and my sisters, he that began a good work in us is able to perform it until that day. And God didn't start you out on this race for you not to finish. And God didn't give you the Holy Ghost just to see you drift on out. But the reality is, we are contenders, and we are earnestly contending for the faith. There is no complacency in walking with God. We are contending, we're working, we're going, we're doing everything we can to live for God. The challenge becomes, in every one of us, is what are we contending for? What is our pursuit? What are we after? It's interesting, when we look at what we're trying to receive from God, we are really diligent about that, aren't we? If we want something, we'll read every Bible verse, we'll pray prayers, we'll go on fasts, we'll call people. When we want to receive something, we will absolutely do everything we can to try to receive it. But I wonder how diligent we are about the renewing of ourselves. Because renewing means I have to go back to what I once was. I'm not talking about going back into the world. Renewing means that I have to go back to that place where God had me the best. And are we willing to pursue and to be diligent enough about renewing as we are receiving? In other words, if God said, I'm going to be handing out job promotions next Thursday, we would do everything we could to get to where God wanted us to be, to get that promotion, or you name the object that we want. But what if we saw from God a sign that said, next Thursday, I'm going to renew your spirit? how would we approach it? I'm going to renew your mind. I'm going to renew your devotion. How would we approach that? We might not be as diligent about those things as we are receiving. So the reason that Jude is writing this is because we have got to be earnestly contending for what? For the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Not a bunch of times, one time. Why is that? And he begins to describe why it is so important. He says, starting in verse number 5, and I'm building up a point with this, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He then goes on in verse 6 to talk about the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, and he has reserved for them a place of eternal judgment. He then reminds them of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's bringing these people, these called, sanctified, and preserved people back to the place of their memory of what happened in the Old Testament when God had to deal with people, even though they started well, ended poorly. He then goes on in verse number 8 to describe different peoples. He describes a different situation when Michael the archangel had to contend with the devil about the bones of Moses. He talks about the way of Cain. He talks about Enoch. He talks about the different things from the Old Testament. Why does Jude bring this in? It's because he's not dealing with novices. He's not dealing with people who are ignorant to the things of God and the work of God. He's not dealing with people who can't handle this kind of reality about God's actions in the world. Some people see God as just big, nice being up there who only does great things. But those people who know God know that God has been involved in judgment and God has been involved in turning situations around and God has brought kings up and set kings down. We understand that God has lifted people up and set them down. We know because as the children of God, we know the history of God. We've read it. And so Jude is bringing this back to their remembrance, saying, hey, I want to tell you something. You may be called, you may be preserved, you may be sanctified, but you still have to diligently try to find and contend for the faith. As good as you are, as much as you know, as long as you have been around, there is a danger out there. And that danger is, and he brings it full circle in verse 18. The danger is that there could be people and voices that creep in unaware. And those very voices could be the ones that derail you from your walk with God. Now, I came up in the church and I heard a lot of preaching about vices. A lot of preaching about vices. And a lot of the preaching in those days was to guardrail us against the things of the world and the vices of the world. And all that preaching was right, and I thank God for it. It's helped me become who I am today. But at the same time, we can't forget it's not just vices. Sometimes it's voices. And there are a lot of voices in the world today, aren't there? There are voices that do their very best to convince us, to control us, to persuade us. And just because a voice is loud doesn't mean it's right. And just because a voice is different doesn't mean it's wrong. We must cling to the word of God. And at the end of the day, he even says this. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time. There are going to be those who are going to influence, they're going to creep in unaware, as good as you are, as saved as you are, with as much knowledge as you have. There is a danger, my brothers and sisters, that can come in unaware. He starts with security, and then he moves quickly into contending. In verse 20, Jude begins to bring up a few things, and I'm getting to the meat of what I'm going to talk about today right now. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." I wonder today if we're spending time building, becoming, doing. Do we spend our time looking at spiritually what we need to be focused on? There are a lot of ways to do this, and there's no shortage of people that have written books about how to manage your time well, how to manage your mind well, how to manage. You know why that's such a big, you know why it's a bestseller? It's because we're all looking for a secret of how to manage, right? Help me manage this better. Help me manage that better. What about our spiritual walk? Are we managing it better today than we were in 2019? As one CEO said, "I walked around my company. I saw there were a lot of people who are cutting off leaves week after week, but they never cut the roots." I wonder spiritually, do we walk around and just cut off the leaves of the things that are wrong in our life and never really get to cutting out the roots? Because the roots are where the leaves come from. I wonder spiritually, if we were to take a look, are we building on our most holy faith? Or are we letting time just move quietly by, wishing, dreaming, and all the while watching ourselves spiritually erode? He then says that you need to pray, how? In the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, God didn't give you the Holy Ghost for us to all be excited one time. God gave you the Holy Ghost to lead and to guide you. God gave you the Holy Ghost to convict you. God gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost for supernatural spiritual prayer. And just like the Apostle Paul said, "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." We need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to pray through. When I was coming up, we called it praying through to the Holy Ghost. And I needed it. We needed it. We would go down to the altar and they wouldn't let us get up until we prayed through in the Holy Ghost. We need that in our lives, my brothers and my sisters. Why? It's because you're good enough on your own now to avoid a lot of vices. Not even cool a lot of ways. So some of the vices aren't even cool anymore. Now, it's the voices. He then says something that I've struggled with a long time, and I read about it even this week and on my reading. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And with all things that you read and study and research, there's a lot of various opinions about this. How do you keep yourself in something that's unconditional? One man said it's just like the sun. It's always shining. It's just sometimes you can't see it. Let me use that as a simple analogy, an example. I think every one of us know what it is to feel the love of God. But I think every one of us also know what it's like to the feeling of guilt, or the feeling of abandon, or the feeling that God isn't watching, or the feeling, does God love me anymore, or the feeling, does God even see where I'm at? That's why Job said, "I looked to the right and the left and front and back. Everywhere I looked, I couldn't find him. Felt like he hid himself from me." David even said in his great failure in Psalm chapter 51, as he's repenting, he says, "Turn your face from me." We've all felt the absence of the love of God, and we know what it feels like to try to find your way back in. Jude is saying, keep yourself. In other words, guard yourself from the things that would cause you and pull you away. Jude, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, then says something very powerful at the end. Remember, he starts with our security, that we are sanctified, that we are called, and that we are preserved. He's speaking to absolutely everyone, not just a specific group of people in one location. And the reason why we know that is because when it comes to things that can take you out of the kingdom of God and out of, I don't want to say the church, but out of Christ. My great friend Bishop Burt used to say to me, and he still does to this day, there's no such thing as being in church, but there is such thing about being in Christ. That's Bible language. What can pluck us out of his hands? What can turn us aside? It's ourselves. And that's why you must build on your most holy faith. That's why you must pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why you must keep yourself in the love of God. But then he says at the very conclusion, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What is the sense does this make? What is Jude saying? I thought I was called. I thought I was preserved. I thought I was sanctified. Yes. But just like I had to bring to remembrance all the other people, actually, and angels I had to deal with, every one of us have the capacity to fall. Now, under him who's able to keep us from falling, and notice this, and to present you faultless. Everybody say faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know, God is not hoping that you barely make it. God is not hoping that you just have a mediocre walk with him. God is going to present you faultless with exceeding joy because he wants you to make it. He wants you to win. God is on your side. We're going to be victorious through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the hope. This is the joy. It has nothing to do with what happens on earth. It has everything to do with what God is going to do with us, and he's going to present us faultless. And then he says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. So the question this morning is, my brothers and sisters, what voices are we listening to? What are we guarding against to keep us in the love of God? What's creeping in unaware? We know how to handle things that creep in aware. But what is coming in unaware? Are we spiritually to the point? Are we contending enough for the faith that we know the difference between doctrine that's sound and doctrine that's not? Are we to the point where we know that God's voice is not going to lead us aside from his word? Are we aware and do we think often about the fact that Jesus said, there would be mockers, there would be false prophets, there would be people that were going to try to come in and persuade you otherwise. He wasn't speaking to novices. He wasn't speaking to people outside. He was speaking to people on the inside. So the glorious hope is this, and that is that we are going to be presented faultless before him with exceeding great joy. Glory to God. The greatest work of Calvary is us being saved. The greatest work of God's, one person put it, the unfolding drama of redemption is that you and I as human beings are going to be saved, not by our own merit, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and by living for God. That's the glory of it. But along the way, we must contain and maintain and be a part of what God is doing in our lives. Because God wants you to make it. And as out of sorts as we feel, as different as things are right now, I want to remind you that we are still called, sanctified, and preserved. We are still the church and the body of Christ, and God is still working inside of us. You just got to be aware of what you're unaware of. Musicians, please come. Yes, you've just got to be aware of what you're unaware from. You've got to make sure that you've contained and that you are praying in the Holy Ghost, that you're building on your faith, and that you're keeping yourself in the love of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, if we could, for a word of prayer. Our musicians and singers are going to lead us in worship. We understand how we're going to be dismissed today, but let's lift up our hands one more time. And let's allow the Lord to just let this word marinate in our hearts, to penetrate us, to cause us to be aware of the things we're unaware of. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you now, knowing, Lord, that we've all qualified for the race, but there's still a race yet to run. That we've gotten started, but we haven't finished yet. But God, we're looking unto you because you are the author and the finisher of our salvation. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise as we yield up our hearts and our minds and our souls unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.